or DFW Mobile.
Cup of coffee, and I got my built-in tins machine dialed up and working good, and I'm kicked back in my chair watching YouTube videos, Fire Lake.
Sounds like you're doing good.
Got it going on. It's kind of like Houston Control in here.
Roger that. I just rolled out of the subdivision, so I just got up here to 290 here in Greer.
Yeah, be careful. I tell you, anytime I get on the road, I wonder where some of these people get their driver's license.
Everybody's in a hurry, and they ain't saving any time. It's just making it dangerous for the rest of us.
Exactly what you mean. I mean, a lot of times all they do is they're the first one at the next red light catches all of us, so they ain't getting nowhere.
Wonder if they even notice.
They're just wearing out their car, wearing out their brakes, and, you know, but anyway, yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes. It's just kind of got to shake your head, say, Lord bless them, and go on about your business.
They just leave at the last second to get to work on time.
You know, if I got a doctor's appointment or anything, I try to put an extra 15 minutes in there because I'm out here in the country, and sometimes I get behind somebody on a tractor or something, and, you know, and then they'll slow you down, or you know, on these little back roads, you just, you know, can't always gauge how long it's going to take you to get there.
I went and picked up a battery over off of Highway 14 yesterday, and they were repaving the road. So, I mean, it's about a 20-minute delay just sitting there.
You know, the wife's little car, you know, she got that screen and everything, and so, you know, somehow it picks up information. I don't know where, but it'll come up. And, you know, usually the screen's blue where the road is, and you're supposed to be on that part of the road. Anyway, if there's some kind of problem, it'll be yellow if it's a slowdown, and it'll come up red if it's a complete stop. And, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know, maybe get off a GPS information or whatever, but anyway, it's a neat little feature.
It was red on mine, and I figured they were working on the road because of where it was at. And I think they pulled the data from everybody's cell phone.
That's what she does. She's got a cable. She plugs her cell phone into the car. And some program off of Apple, I think it's some Apple app that she runs, Apple Map app or something, and it brings that detail in.
Anybody else in here this morning?
You're the first one. I kind of figured there might be some more. Haven't heard Eric. I don't know if you were the one asking about Jody the other day, but I finally did get around to texting him. He said he's doing fine. He's just been real busy and, you know, hasn't got on the radio in the mornings.
Yeah. And then I talked to him the other day. One morning he was in here. It was good to talk to him. I think it was Andrew that was asking about him.
That'd be in. I just, I got his phone number, so I sent him a text a few days back, and he said he'd, you know, try and get in here and talk a little bit. You know, with some of the guys, you just, you know, don't know what their schedule is, and with Patrick, you know, not, last few days. I guess he's doing okay.
About a week for me, I think, talking to him, but last I talked to him, he was doing pretty good.
Well, according to the TV, it's 5:42, so I'm thinking maybe some of the other guys will be in here, and they probably won't spoke at you before you get gone. Have a good morning, and I'll catch you a little later. KF4NXY.
Good to hear you this morning. Hope your day goes really good, and I'll catch you later. KN4TFW.
4CLE Mobile, me and the missus headed to work this morning.
Anthony, good morning, Miss Angela. KN4TFW.
That is doing well this morning. Good day to go see how this ER is going to be today.
Hot luck. It'll be something interesting, I'm sure.
It always is.
It's a slow day in the ER.
More. The population has grown so much that ER, and then it and the satellite hospitals, we just all stay busy pretty much all the time now. I heard yesterday they're going to redo some of the ER, expand it, and the joke is they're going to start putting bunk beds in. It wouldn't surprise me with Prisma.
On that one, it's no telling what to do. Anything to get more people in the same amount of area. Hey, hang on a minute. I'm going in a bad spot.
4ZLE. Yeah, we just, I get on the interstate, and the back road traffic is a little heavy this morning for some reason. I guess maybe the school stuff.
Hung up in some road repaving yesterday afternoon. Work all weekend.
Just come off of our days off. This is our long weekend to work. So.
To work those schedules like that now, just 5 days a week. Off on the weekends.
The other weekend stuff starting to get kind of old. I'm thinking about talking to one of the higher ups. Since I've been there so long, see, maybe I can do something, maybe to change it around or something. But, you know, who knows?
Companies nowadays don't worry about the long-term employees. They just try to get the new one something so they think they're getting it.
The truth. And it's Prisma's that way. You would think, you know, they would invest into their long-term employees that know what's going on and keep everything running. But they cater to these little young ones that don't have any experience or anything like that. I don't know. It's just kind of backwards now.
All right. When we all retire, they'll figure out real quick what happened. KN4TFW.
For ID. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of scared to see what the future is going to be with the new generation. With
I'm going to find a couple of employees now.
Come in and they have to do like a certain period of orientation with a nurse and with a tech or whatever. And some of these, I mean, you just try to show them, you know, how to do the job. You show them the ropes and stuff. They just look at you, you know, with them having no experience whatsoever, they already think they know it all and seen it all and done all. And then when you try to actually teach them in the most respectful way, they get all offended. And, you know, it's something else, man.
Wear their feelings out on their sleeves, right?
Most definitely. Again.
Same with all the TV shows that we used to have wouldn't even make it today, you know, like All in the Family and Jeffersons and all those that were politically incorrect nowadays. I mean, hell, we all just laughed about it back then.
Heaven forbid a movie like Blazing Saddles were ever to be released. Holy cow. But yeah, like I said, the newer employees that come in, first thing they want to tell you is their social views. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, I'm not here for that. I'm here to get the job done, make a paycheck, go home.
Showing supposed to be some cooler weather coming in next week. That'll be good. Maybe it'll help my grass stop growing so I don't have to cut it so much.
Got out there and cut hours, and man, it was so thick. Because every time I tried to get out there to cut it, of course, it had rained or just rained or getting ready to rain or something. And man, it was so thick. And I got a pretty large lawn tractor. And even it was struggling. The grass was so doggone thick.
I cut it high on Sunday, and then I cut a little lower on Monday, and then I cut a little lower on yesterday. And that, and it's like it just is growing like an inch a day, it seems like.
I know what you mean. And I took the mulching blades off of this one and actually put actual heavy-duty cutting blades to try to help it. And even with that, you know, it's still struggling.
Tonight, if it don't rain, I'll have to rake up all the mess that left.
CLA for ID. Are you planning to try to go to the Shelby Ham Fest? I think me and the wifey booth will try to make it up there.
Go to one just to meet some of the people you talk to, but yeah, that's not in the plans right now. I gotta conserve some funds. The daughter in Kentucky looks like she's gonna have to move and might have to help her out.
Have you told me about that yesterday? I understand that. You gotta take care of them kiddos. It's like, you know, we still have to take care of them sometimes.
Wonder what they're gonna do when we pass on.
What you mean? I thought about that myself.
Son-in-law, a flat tire is more reliable than he is.
I understand that. It's a sad world for these, like I said, this younger generation, man.
Worked about every place in that little town that they live in. He said he knows everything, even though he hasn't ever done the job.
Frustrated, especially when they're attached to one of your kids. Sometimes you just kind of want to make them disappear in a sense. I had an issue with my daughter with a little boy at one time. Luckily, that was quite a few years ago. And her husband, he's actually really good. Owns his own business, so I can't complain with that one. Works his tail off, takes care of her and my granddaughter, so happy there.
We got like 10 of them, so I mean it's a lot to take care of.
Two granddaughters, and I got a grandson on the way. Should be here in just a few months. So.
Congratulations to you guys. And I just noticed that it's like, what's this yellow light come on my dash? It's like it says that if I don't stop for some fuel pretty soon, I ain't gonna make it home.
Go push water, or the go-go juice. Yeah. It ain't fun pushing one.
Favorite I got here, you go a little ways on the tank. And then, so I guess I'll take business 85, try to find something cheap.
2011 Chevy Cruze I drive just for back and forth to work, and I've got my old truck. But I have started running ethanol-free 90 and 93 octane in these, so I can get it around the lake here really easily. Yeah, it's more expensive, but I have noticed a huge difference in the way both of those vehicles run. I use less of it. The little Cruze went from like 27 up to, I've gotten 34 and 35 on the interstate with it. But it's just a huge difference in the way they run. They got more power, cleaner. I haven't had any more fuel pump issues. I mean, it's made a huge difference. And, yeah, like I said, I pay more for it, but in the long run, I use much less of it. So it almost evens out, so I'm not really paying that much more.
I really can't complain about this one. When I retire and only running around town and only doing about 45 or so, I believe I can build this thing for in the low 50s easy.
Good. Yeah, this thing's got that, which most newer vehicles do, has that variable valve timing system, so the computer can adjust the position of the camshaft to take advantage of the exhaust scavenging, you know, kind of like a bigger cam does. So it lets it, you know, have more power. And I can definitely tell the difference in it.
N4AZE.
glad you finally woke up. KN4 TFW.
KQ4 CLE and the wifey headed to work.
All right, good for y'all. Yeah, I don't know if I woke up or came to this morning. I'm still not alert yet. I just got down here. Is it Anthony and Ken, right?
Better than you thought you were.
It's Anthony.
Was it Angie? Angelo, maybe?
Thank you, Pooh.
Morning, everybody. Yeah, I got up, I want to see what that hurricane's doing, you know, and I went to bed last night, and it was below South Carolina. I said, well, maybe it's near South Carolina. I got up, and it's past North Carolina now.
The turn headed away from the U.S. now.
Move on.
What kind of damage it might have done, but, you know, down at our place, I got the cameras down there, and it's like nothing even happened.
Out on the Outer Banks.
Huh?
Yeah, Roger.
There, now, we're at Pawley's Island, but it's, you know, it's kind of sunk in, actually, opposite a little bit of the Outer Banks, but I've never been at the Outer Banks.
Between the little bay and the ocean ain't but a couple of hundred yards wide.
Put in there with you.
That I was saying that some places it's only a couple of hundred yards wide.
Yes.
We stayed at the KOA one time and it was like 100 yards to the beach or 100 yards the other way to the sound.
Like that. Beach on one side and marsh on the other. We're it's actually an island.
Let me swing off here and get some fuel.
TV right now, the pier off the North Carolina coast. The water looks a little bit angry, but it's not like there's a hurricane out there.
I'm in here. I'll be back. KN4 TFW.
Bear it up. And for a hard day today?
With this crazy ER, which we pretty much stay busy now. The population has grown so much. The main ER, which we're at, and all the satellite ERs pretty much stay crammed. If we probably walk in and have 20 or 30 people just waiting on beds to be admitted in the ER alone. That's regular for us now. I think I went in yesterday morning. I think we had almost 30. And that's just the ones waiting on beds that's been seen, been admitted. And then, you know, you still got your other ones still waiting to be seen. But, yeah, it's gotten pretty well normal now, unfortunately.
Like people with heart attacks and things, they just got to wait.
Usually, they've changed some things up the way that they're doing things now, and I don't agree with it. But usually, hopefully, somebody like that, you know, like we used to do, we would call in, hey, this is what we got. We got a critical patient. Usually, hopefully, they can get them straight in and have things rolling for that, like strokes, heart attacks, you know, major traumas, stuff like that. So, but other ambulances, like, you know, non-critical, we'll have them lined up 10, 15 deep in the hallway just waiting to be put on a bed. We've got some crews that's had to wait 2 and 3 hours to get their patient off of a stretcher onto a bed. It's crazy.
I need another hospital.
It's going to cost money, and that would make sense.
Well, with a heart attack, sit over there and try to slow your heart down for a while, and you people, try not to bleed out over there. Yeah, because we got this one over here that thinks they've got the flu. We got to get them taken care of first.
Ones that walk in with a stubbed toe or some other tiny little boo-boo are getting mad because they're having to sit there and wait.
I went to, it's been a long time, but I had a kidney stone. And that, I never had experienced that kind of pain before. And I was in there and had to wait. There was, I don't know, 8 or 9 people in there. And these people were, you know, like runny noses. These people were like, nothing really wrong with them. It didn't seem like it. You know, they'd call their name and they'd go up there and then they'd carry them back and they were sitting around fine. I'm sitting here rolling around on the floor.
Experienced the kidney stone thing myself. Of all the broke bones and pins and plates, kidney stone is the worst pain I have ever felt in my life. But, yeah, I mean, it's the way that the triage thing is done now. Just what they call a pull-to-pull type situation, and I don't like it. They're more worried about a wait time on a piece of paper and people being warm and fuzzy than they are actual, you know, patient care. I mean, that's about the best way that I can put it. I do not like the way that it's done now.
Car accident people that are really in bad shape, when they come in on an ambulance, do they not get any kind of priority?
Because we're a major level one trauma center, which is the highest level. Now, we've got trauma bays. We got two major bays, and we got two, I guess you would say, not as major, but they're still considered a trauma bay. Those are always kept open, you know, for that kind of stuff. So that's a good thing.
Nitty, well, that's good to know.
KN4TFW, I'm back. 11 gallons of it, and I'm good for 583 miles now. And Dern Pump threw me a curve, but the handle was green. I was thinking it was the diesel, and then the diesel handle was black.
You didn't get any on you, did you?
I'm good. And that is it was a brand new gas station just opened. I got it for $2.65. That's pretty good for my area.
$2.65.
Oh no, I was getting regular gasoline.
That's in a few weeks. I don't know what. Us old people, we don't use that much anymore. We don't really have anywhere too much to go. I got some friends that are, I call it, it's a death circle is what I call it. They start you on doctors. They got to go, first they go to this doctor. Then they got to send them to their buddy, this doctor. Then this doctor sends them to their buddy. Next thing you know, they come back around a circle, and they're going to doctors every week, and they weren't doing that.
When I start my Medicare, I'm going to go ahead and start making an appointment for January just to get a physical anyway. It's been a while since I've been.
Once a year, a Medicare physical, they call it. But it's not a physical. It's a questionnaire. Experience that. It's called a Medicare physical, but it's not a physical at all. The nurse asks you all kind of questions. You know, you depressed or feel like committing suicide, or you know, just all kind of crazy things.
Be about standard now, because my doctor last year did that, and they may do it in the ER too.
Here, do you?
I signed up for A last year. I'll sign up for the B, and I already got my supplement, so it'll be all my insurance will be Medicare starting in January.
Yeah, what they call a Medicare physical? Like draw them a clock, 10 o'clock, actual clock. And of course, today's kids probably couldn't do that. You know, if they don't know what a clock is, they look at digital numbers, you know, on their cell phones. But and now they ask you to remember. They always do me. They say, "We're going to ask you to remember three words. We're going to tell you three words, and in a little bit, we're going to ask you what those words are." And then they talk to you about all the own guns and I mean anything, you know. Stupid stuff. One time they wanted me to name animals, farm animals. Many farm animals as you name in like 45 seconds. You know, just crazy stuff.
Need to get back in here. KN4TFW.
ZLE. We about to pull up here at the hospital, guys. I hope everybody has a good day. And as always, I do appreciate the conversation. Just everybody be safe out there. KQ4ZLE, I'll be clear on y'all's final.
Miss Angela, you guys have a good day. Catch you next time.
7-3 Anthony and Miss Angela, you guys have a safe day and we'll catch you later. KN4 TFW.
The measurements work as far as side to side.
wheelbase, you know, their wheelbase is too short, you know, but for the Corvette, shorter than the Camaro by 4 inches, but that's no issue there. But side to side, it could be used as is, you know, because that's got the independent rear and the transaxle in the back, all of that. I'm just kicking it around, you know what I mean?
That Mustang that I gave my brother, I think my brother passed away before he got around to doing it, but I think they were going to have to, do something with the drive shaft. The length was off and all that, and there was, you know, a few things like that to be done. I hate that car just sitting in that garage, but hopefully my nephew and his son will bring it back to life.
And if I were to have gotten it, was, you know, naturally to gut it and get rid of everything, and I was going to put all new late model suspension in it and lower it, you know, everything, Coyote motor, stuff like that.
That would make it really good.
The leaf spring stuff and go four link. Yeah, that's what I would have done with it. You know, I still retain the look, the same look of the 65, 66 Mustang, but it would be just more aggressive, much lower, and it'd be all new, new technology in it.
Yeah, see them done up like that, because, you know, that's, you know, then you got the best of both worlds.
You're driving new, old school.
Exactly.
You know, that's why I was just hunting for basically a body, you know, of something. I didn't need, you know, running gear, but I don't want to deal with another rust bucket. I think I'm done with rust after this 57 truck and this Camaro. I don't want to deal with all that rust anymore.
There ain't none on this one. I got that car when I was 15 years old and got it from my switch used cars down there in Lexington, and I knew the girl that traded it in, so I know the history of it from when it was new.
Six-cylinder car at one time.
Six-cylinder, and when I gave it to my brother to give to his son, if he'd have fixed the brakes and put a carburetor kit in it, it'd have been good to go.
They've got it where it won't run.
Of course, you know, it's got a V8 in it now, and, you know, if I could have got it back, or if my sister-in-law she wouldn't sell it for me for love nor money, but if I could buy it back, I got a good mechanic I'd take it to and you know, get it running.
Hey, Carolina Driveline, it's Spartanburg, if you can get a drive shaft made.
They'll take care of it one of these days, probably after I'm dead and gone, because Chris is a little boy. I mean, you know, like he's 4 or 5 years old. So, you know, if they hold on to it that long, that thing will be probably the only one like it in South Carolina.
As out, but I'm getting at the age now. I don't know if I need any more projects or not. That's why I don't know if I want to. I've been kicking around the idea of what I just told you about that Corvette deal, and I don't know if I want to undertake that or not.
What you mean? I figure I got 10, 15 years left, and I'm going to be fishing and traveling. I've never seen a whole lot of the world. I've been to California and, you know, a few places in the United States. I've never been overseas, and I want to do some serious traveling before I get to where I'm confined to a nursing home, you know.
Country.
It depends on how the politics go over the next 10, 15 years. course, I may move down to find a safe area in Mexico and draw my Social Security down there.
Everything will be safe by then.
I'm getting to where I'm about ready to quit looking at the news other than just to catch the local weather.
Yeah, I watch it a little bit in the morning. I do like to get the local weather. Let me know what I can do throughout the day.
It's going to be pretty nice today. Might get a little warm this afternoon. And, I've had that implant thing done, so I wasn't supposed to ride the motorcycle, but I took it out the other day anyway. I kind of paid for it the next day. But I still haven't cut the grass. I may go ahead and do that. But, doctors tell you what you can and can't do. And sometimes I'm a stubborn old man. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Hey, what'd you ever do with your gas tank? Did you get one for it?
I understand you. What'd they ever do with what now?
Well, did you ever get your gas tank for it? I know you were talking about swapping one out.
Got the gas tank for it, and I got the gas tank on it, and I've got a, put the, I got a new carburetor for it, and got to get all that hooked up, and I should have it up and running pretty soon. It's just, I got so many projects I need to finish up the wife's she shed. I got two more walls to put up in it. I've got couple antennas I want to get up in the air. I found a guy on Facebook Marketplace. He had some pipe, old pipe from a fence, and he was a welder, so I bought a couple of sections of that and got him to cut it to the length I wanted, and so anyway, I got too many projects. Agenda for today.
I want to go cruise a little bit, take a couple of hot rods out, cruise around, burn a little gas. We've been getting, every day, even yesterday afternoon, didn't think it was going to, but I go cruising.
I'm going to cruise around the Easley area. I bet you right up through Pickens, it's kind of pretty up that way toward the mountains.
I don't ever make it to Greenville, really. No need to go there, but yeah, just local here, probably. I haven't gone to Anderson. I've just done kind of like Pickens and this area right in here.
Years and years and years ago, my brother showed me a little road. I know you know where that flea market is, where everybody. They're walking around in the morning with flashlights looking at your stuff, and everybody clears out by lunchtime. Anyway, near that flea market, there's a road. Oh, I think it's off to the right, and it takes you up in the area my brother called the horse pasture. I think everybody else calls it. But anyway, it's a rough, rough road. You need a truck. You get up in there, and, man, you talk about some of the most beautiful scenery. He'd go up in there and go deer hunting.
And I've never been up it because it is rough, but I know where you're talking about.
Yeah, I went looking for me and the wife, we were out that way, and I went looking for that road, and I couldn't remember which one it was, and Steve had done passed away by then. I couldn't ask him, But, man, yeah, it's just gorgeous up in there. You can look down on Joe Cassie. I mean, that's how high up you are. And it's just magnificent up in there.
You know, I think it was 1973. They had just finished Joe Cassie. And they had one little place you could put a boat in. And we went up there and snuck in and put a boat in and rode that lake. It was all kind of debris and stuff in it, but it was, and there was nothing out there, nobody out there. But this was in 1973. I remember the year. So that must have been when they finished it, because it had been finished.
Well, I mean, there's some really deep water in spots of that lake.
In the middle of the lake, like if you put the dam behind you, when you left the boat landing, the dam was kind of on the right, and you go back in kind of towards the mountain to get some pretty big water out in there. And right out in the middle was a little light-looking spot. We pulled over there to it in the middle of the lake, and it was about 3 or 4 feet underwater was a sand. It looked like a mountain, and the water was, I mean, it was real clear, and you could just see as it went down at a sharp angle, it was just a peak. So, yeah, that lake's definitely got some deep places.
I'm from church, used to fish up there. He said, man, there's some big bass in that lake. Him and his wife would go up there with the pontoon, and sometimes they'd take a little grill and spend the whole night on the lake, you know. They'd have their little grill, do the cooking on the pontoon, and fish all night long.
The night there, but we went to that lake throughout the 70s, even in the late 70s, and it really turned out to be a nice place. And there are some places. There's one where we pulled up to the shore, a bank, and just pulled up there, and you would think it was a nice little slope and all, but we jumped off of the boat. We're going to get on the bank there. And never hit. We jumped off and went straight down and never hit. Thought we was going to land on the ground. There was no ground there. It was like just a cliff.
Well, some of these lakes, you know, you'd be on the shore and you think about stepping off in the water. And you figure, well, it ain't 2 or 3 feet deep. You go in over your head.
I think that lake's got, I forget how deep there's some places in that lake, but I know it's over a couple hundred feet in places.
I grew up down there in Lexington, and there's some towers you go across the dam. You see the top of those towers, and school teachers, when I was in high school, showed us some old pictures. Oh, there's some really tall towers. I'll tell you how deep it is right there at that dam. And scuba divers have seen catfish down there. It scared them. They come swimming. The scuba divers come swimming out. They didn't want to tangle with them huge catfish down there in the bottom of that lake.
That they said the catfish were bigger than the people.
Yeah, there's... Went down there years ago with a little group from the church to go striper fishing. It was one of the guy's birthdays, and that's what he wanted to do, was get up a group. It was his birthday in May. Man, it was hot. And we was out there in the sunshine. But, hey, we caught one striper that was legally big enough to keep. And I was, you know, use the right bait. And, you know, we had a guide with his boat, and he, you know, kind of knew where to fish, and that's where we caught that striper, was around them towers.
So the catfish were?
Yeah, that's the area that just got the huge catfish.
I don't know if it looked real on YouTube, some big catfish where they brought them in, and these things look like they're 6 feet long.
Hey, fishing lakes, me and my buddy go to Fire Lake, and I forget the names of some of them, but hey, he's pulled in some 20, 30-pound catfish. I mean, he could hardly lug it to the scale and in front of the store to get the thing weighed.
Down there too. There's a pretty good size one there too.
Yeah, there's a friend of ours that she knows about a place down that way. And Shaw Field, and she's retired military, and that's all, you know, you got to be retired or active duty or retired military to get in, and they got cabins down there, and I'm pretty sure that gives you access to Santee, and we keep saying we're going to set up a trip and go down there.
So we used to go to a place called Goat Island and started fishing from right there, and then we'd go out from there. But, you know, the lake's not really deep. It's, 30 feet maybe, something like that. It's not very deep. There may be some places that are a little deeper, but there's some, there's some big catfish come out of there.
Okay, I think that, I don't know, not sure how all the lakes in the state tied. There's a bunch of them kind of tied together, I think. I think Santee Cooper and Clark's Hill and Strom Thurmond. And anyway, they kind of link together. And yeah, there's good fishing spots all down different, you know, areas.
The thing about that lake, if they talk about a storm at all, everybody runs. In 4A's Eddie.
And XY, yeah, that's the kind of way Lake Murray, storm come up, you best head for shore, because them waves get rough, and the wind, and the lightning, you
like that. We found out, we were down there, the opposite end of the dam, kind of toward the mountains, and you could see it getting dark, you know, a little bit dark back there. We got thinking there's a storm going to be coming. We got a little while yet. Well, we didn't. I mean, that thing came across, and we didn't even have a chance.
Yeah, I've been on different bodies of water when the weather got a little rough. It can be a little scary. My brother-in-law, before he passed away, he had a friend at a little place down Mexico Beach, down there in Florida, kind of call it the Forgotten Coast, because it's a beautiful beach, and there's hardly any development on it. And he had a big enough boat that we could go offshore just a little ways. And I tell you, in a small boat, and you start seeing some clouds, we'd head on back to shore.
Well, at all.
Yeah.
Lake Hartwell.
I go down to Lake Russell a good bit. That's a Deacon Retreat. We'd always do it down there at the cabins at the state park. And me and my brother-in-law, Dennis, we'd get up a few more guys and rent a cabin. So that's where I go two or three times a year. So kind of know my way around Russell. I ain't never caught no fish out of it, but... I'd like to learn a little bit more about Hartwell. I don't live that far from it.
This was in the 1970s, called Anderson Wreck, and it had a little dock there in a little beachy area. And anyway, there was a storm coming up, and I had a little 14-foot little speedboat, had an outboard on it. And the storm was coming up, so we tied the boat off at the dock right there. It's about, I guess, about 6 feet deep, wasn't real deep. And it went and took some shelter, and it came a downpour, I mean a hard one. Anyway, went back to the boat on the dock, and the boat wasn't there. And we thought it floated off. It sunk the boat right there at the dock. It filled it up and sunk it.
Yeah, that can happen, huh? I had a bass boat and headed at the dock down there at Russell. Got real bad rain come up, and I was glad that little bass boat had a bilge pump, because that bilge pump was pumping that water out all night. If it hadn't been, it would have sunk it.
I could not believe we walked on the dock, and there sat the boat just sitting right there on the bottom. And you see it just clear as a bell right there, because it wasn't deep. But we took about eight of us to get that boat back out to where we get it drained and pull the plugs and everything drained. And it ran good after that, but we had to, it took a half a day to get it back running again.
A little story, my brother and his wife, Steve and Tina, they were at the lake, and she was, you know, he had her in the car, you know, he had it all, you know, on the, had it all backed in almost all the way, and he was in the boat, you know, getting ready to get it off the trailer and getting her to back it on in a little bit, and his old Ford station wagon. Anyway, the thing chugged down and cut off, and she panicked, and it just all went in the water. And, you know, the station wagon's floating, just the top of it and all that, the whole rig's in the water. And they got lucky. There was a guy there with a real big four-wheel drive truck, and he pulled that mess out for him.
Lucky.
Well, we're real lucky. I don't know how good a swimmer Tina was, but she was a few months pregnant, and she was able to get out the car. But, you know, stuff can happen quick when you're trying to do something at the water. I saw something online the other day that says if your marriage can survive launching a boat, then you got a good one.
We watched, you know, it's like 3:30 in the morning, went to Hartwell. I forget the name of the landing we went to, but it's a little cove right there. And there was quite a few people there putting boats in at that time of morning. And there was these black dudes, about five of them, had a little boat. And it was an outboard boat, but you steer it with the lever on the motor, you know, it was an old wooden boat. And, because we were watching them when they unloaded, and they had got off, they were all on the boat, and it was sitting there in the cove, and they were getting everything ready, and it looked like it was getting lower. So, and it kept getting lower, and I was hollering, guys, have y'all got your plug in? Your boat looks like it's getting lower. Anyway, that boat, they didn't have the plug in that boat. I want you to know that boat sank right there, and I mean, it was the craziest thing to watch them. It sank, and the stuff was just floating all over the place.
Yeah, he's got this YouTube channel he sets up where he's got a good view of the boat ramp down there somewhere around Miami. And he shows some of the most hilarious, funniest things going. I mean, it ain't funny if it's happening to you. I mean, if you come in too fast and you don't back out of it and you crash into the dock or somebody else's boat, I mean, that's a bad day. But anyway, it's made for some funny YouTube video.
One, that when he pulled his boat out of the, you know, pulled it out of the water, I guess he didn't have it, that hooked right or something, but the boat, the boat come off the back of the trailer and set right down there on the boat landing.
Actually, what happened with me and my brand new little bass boat, my buddy didn't know how to hook that thing up at the front. It was configured a little weird, and it was when he pulled it up at, you know, kind of steep on the ramp, it come off and banged on the bottom on the back. I just got lucky it didn't knock a hole in it.
This one either, because the back hit first, but that outboard was up. You know, they had it cocked up, but it still, I think it got the back of the boat, maybe touched the outboard as it went down, but it just kind of just slid off, and it probably just scratched it up, but I don't know how they got it back on, because we were going to go in, you know. We said, well, we'll just go back out for a little while, let them get that cleaned up.
Lucky there was a younger guy that was, he was, I don't know if he's putting his in or bringing it out, but the two boat ramps there at the state park side by side. And, you know, small bass boat is one of them old Bass Tracker aluminum things that ain't all that heavy. So, and it didn't come completely off the trailer. So, back on and got it ratcheted on there, you know, the right way. So, anyway, I've enjoyed it, dude, but the sun's come up, and I'm going to get busy doing something around here. I'm going to try and be productive and help the wife a little bit. I've been kind of lazy the last few weeks, but the doctor said, well, you ain't supposed to lift more than 5 pounds. You ain't supposed to do this, that, and the other, but I'm going stir crazy. I got to do something. You have a good day. I'll catch you a little later. KF4NXY, I'll be clear on your final.